SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back in. It is Game Time Decisions, another hour here on the Sports Grid Network, and we've got plenty to get to. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you hanging out with us here tonight as we've got the Masters guys finishing up on the course here today. We'll get you caught up with all that. Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, and let us not forget soccer. No better way to kick off the second hour here of Game Time Decisions than with a same game parlay, little Premier League style with none other than, well, just play it. Same game parlay. Let's see what we got here tonight.
All right, we've got a little bit of a different FanDuel same game parlay here tonight. We're going to move to Saturday morning to the English Premier League with Liverpool playing against Crystal Palace. We are going to begin this Saturday morning SGP by taking the deep, deep Liverpool money line and also the over on 3.5 goals. I'm expecting Eberechi Eze to play quite well for Crystal Palace in this match. I think that's a difficult matchup for Liverpool's fullbacks, but of course, Liverpool, one of the most dominant offensive teams in the entire world. And we're also going to take their mercurial left winger slash striker, Darwin Nunez, as an anytime goal scorer in this match. This three-leg same game parlay is going to give us plus 257 odds as Liverpool attempts to try and win the English Premier League. They're going to have to basically win every game for the remainder of the season. Liverpool money line, over 3.5 goals, and one of my favorite forwards in all of world football, Darwin Nunez, as an anytime goal scorer. Good luck on Saturday, everybody.
All right, Davis, appreciate it. No better way to get the weekend started than with a little same game parlay in the Premier League style here. We've got plenty of soccer actually coming up over the next couple of weeks. We've got plenty of Major League Baseball starting here tonight. Couple of games already underway. A whole lot more getting ready to start, not to mention the NBA trying to wrap up the regular season and move on to the playoffs here. And we got a whole bunch of games starting in the 7 o'clock hour here as the Bulls and Wizards. Good luck identifying anybody in that game that you might have ever heard of playing in it here tonight, as the Bulls pretty much locked into the play-in spot and the Wizards. Well, they have tea time booked here as we welcome in our radio audience. Welcome in on this Friday to Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you hanging with us here as loaded slate tonight. We've got a ton of NBA action. Magic and the Sixers waiting here on whether Embiid is going to be playing there. The Magic were the talk of the town here for most of this season. Most improved team, we thought. There was going to be an opportunity for them to get as high as the number three seed, but the wheels have kind of fallen off here down the stretch. They'll be taking on the 76ers, and again, we're only waiting to hear on whether or not Embiid will be playing. He was questionable in this one earlier today, and it looks like he is in, and so is Tyrese Maxey, for that matter. He also is going, so that game has now dropped down to 6.5 here, from 7.5 down to 6.5, maybe even a 6, as it looks like nobody is showing up on the Orlando injury report. So you might get a maximum effort here tonight from Orlando to try and get a couple of wins here to finish off the season. The New York Knicks coming up bottom of the hour against the Nets, and then the Celtics with absolutely nothing to play for. We'll be taking on the Hornets, but the game that I think does have a little juice is going to be this Cavs-Pacers game coming up at the bottom of this hour, too, in Cleveland, as the Cavs are laying 2.5 right now against the Indiana Pacers, who they kind of want to make sure they stay in that six seed here and don't go anyplace else, given the fact that they have kind of been on again, off again here, the Pacers. We know there's not going to be any defense. The Cavs have been absolutely horrific down the stretch. Donovan Mitchell looks like a shell of his former self before he got injured there, right after the All-Star break. It has not been a good run for the Cavs. They have not played solid defense, but they certainly have been able to score even without Donovan Mitchell in the lineup here. He'll be a go here tonight. The Pacers, we know what kind of defense we're going to get from them. This was four and a half, and I'm starting to see twos now, even 2.5s here with a total of 231. That game, again, means a lot to both teams. It's one of the few where both sides have a little something to play for. You're not going to get that with the Lakers and Grizzlies, nor are you going to get that with the Hawks and Timberwolves, although Minnesota would certainly like the ability to maybe lock up and make sure that they are going to get no worse than the number two seed, because Denver, yeah, they look pretty much lock loaded and ready to go here. They're taking on the Spurs. And again, I wouldn't expect a whole lot of effort out of one of those sides. The Bucks and Thunder. When's the last time you saw the Milwaukee Bucks getting 15 points? That's exactly what's happened. No Lillard. Giannis out until at least they hope the playoffs. Looks like the Thunder have got everybody available to them. And good luck laying 14.5, 15 points with the Miami Heat tonight, taking on the Raptors with another one of these teams in which we have no idea who's going to be playing for Toronto. Nobody's heard of any of these people. But the Heat have not been good as of late. Kind of a bounce back spot for them here. Would not shock me if the Heat absolutely bulldozed them. But I'm more inclined to think an under in this game might be the best look here in Miami. Win and move on. And that's kind of what you hope you get there. Warriors taking on the Pelicans here tonight. Suns and Kings. And then, of course, the Jazz will round it out with a little night game on the road against the L.A. Clippers. So plenty going on in the NBA here tonight. And we'll keep you posted as far as once these games tip off. We'll let you know what's happening there. We told you about Major League Baseball, and we got plenty of Masters coming up here. Our good friend Brady Cannon, he's going to stop by. We're going to check in on this scoreboard, a scoreboard in which might have surprised a few people, as Bryson DeChambeau still at the top of the leaderboard, -6. He was 1/73 today in his round. Max Homa, big day, finishing up his first round and then firing a 71 here today. 6 under par, Max Homa. And, of course, you know who, Scottie Scheffler. 6 under par, but he has been scrambling, to say the least, here on the back nine. He is at the 16th, the par three. He still has the 17th and, of course, the 18th to go here. Can he birdie one of these holes and have the lead when we start round three tomorrow morning? So a lot to dive into on the Masters. We'll take a look at some of the guys, some of the prices, who made the cut, who didn't make the cut. Lot to go over here as Game Time Decisions continues on the grid. Come back and join us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Happy Friday to you. A lot going on this weekend. Major League Baseball, the end of the NBA regular season, NHL. Let's not forget, it is a Masters weekend and some interesting scores here today. It is cut day, right? So who's in, who's out? Here to help us make heads and tails of it all, our good friend Brady Cannon here. And really, I guess we'll get it out of the way here, Brady. Yes, Tiger's going to make the cut, so much for that bet. But the list of guys who are not, or that are actually still on the golf course, who might not even make the cut, is pretty extensive, because you and I talked a lot about these guys during the week here. Victor Hovland is one. Tom Kim's another one. Ricky Fowler. Jordan Spieth. I mean, there's a lot of guys. Russell Henley. I know a ton of guys that thought that putter would be great for him this week. So the list is extensive of who's not playing here come this weekend.
No, you're right. I mean, it is so difficult out there, Joe, and it was really hard yesterday, probably even more brutal later into the day yesterday than it was earlier, and maybe similar here today where the early wave may have been a little bit easier this morning, but boy, is it difficult out there now. The wind really pumping up just like we saw yesterday afternoon. You know, I think it's a pretty steady 20-mile-an-hour breeze with gusts up to 30. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe they're touching 40. But you've got Wyndham Clark, the defending U.S. Open champ, right on the bubble. He's got four holes left to play. He's at 5 over par. Yep. That is the cut line right now. That'll get you to the weekend if you can hold on to 5. 6 might get in, but I don't think so. I just don't think there's enough guys left on the course. Rory McIlroy at 4 over par with 2 left to play, 2 very difficult holes. The 17th and the 18th is playing really hard today. That seems like, you know, that I got to believe that one's playing about 4.5 strokes over par right now, the 18th hole. You've also got Victor Hovland. We joked about how all over the place he was yesterday, and it's more been to the negative today. He's got 4 holes left and is on the wrong side of the cut line at +6. But I tell you what, you know, after going through these types of conditions on Thursday and Friday, everybody's going to kind of be able to exhale a little bit over the weekend, and it's going to be good and bad. The good part is the wind is supposed to die down substantially. You're looking at the breezes maxing out at about 10 miles an hour. Maybe you'll get a 15-mile-an-hour gust. It looks like it might even be a little less than that on Sunday. But, you know, this will be a walk in the park as far as the wind versus what they faced the first 2 days. However, at the same time, because no moisture and all of that wind, the greens are going to get firmer, they're going to get crispier, and the fairways were going to get faster and drier as well. So the golf course itself will probably become more difficult, but the conditions will become substantially easier. What I like about that is you're going to have a good balance. You're going to still have double bogeys out there at any minute. But at the same time, I think it also gives guys we're going to see some guys in the field, I believe, over the weekend make a run. I think a charge is now possible. You can't make a charge in these conditions. Ludvig Åberg shot the lowest round of the day, 69, 3 under par. I think over the weekend, you're going to see some possible 5, 6, 7 under par charges by these guys, and that ought to make the back nine on Sunday really thrilling.
Yeah, well, moving to LB Good, I mean, you just got to kind of survive this wind here today, because watching, you know, Scotty had the lead at 7 under. DeChambeau kind of missed a couple of big opportunities on the back with the short stick. But he finished at 6 under par. Homa had already been in. Max Homa had already been in at 6 under. So, you know, Scotty had 7 holes left to go, and you're going, oh, boy, he's going to be 9 under by the time they start tomorrow. He's going to have a 3, 4. But he has been scrambling just to make par here on these closing holes, and he's not the only one. But if 6 under looks like it's going to hold, so how far can we look down the board here? How many shots do you think are realistic to make up with those names up at the top of this board at 6 and 4 under?
I tell you what, I think even 1 over par is probably still live. I mean, 1 over par, not, you got Tiger there. I don't think he's going to do, but Xander Schauffele. 1 over par. I mean, you know, we joke sometimes about Schauffele because he never seems to find the winner's circle. This guy's played darn good golf in these conditions. You know, to be just 1 over par for 2 days, he's made some great scrambling pars today. Brooks Koepka sitting there at 2 over. Tyrrell Hatton had an awful day today. He came back in the morning. He was 3 under par when you and I were talking yesterday. Now he's 2 over. So 7 shots back, I think, is possible. The tough part about it, Joe, is because the conditions are going to, quote unquote, get easier. They're not going to get a lot easier, but we talked about that. The weather is going to get much more friendly for these players. The tough part about that is the weather's much more friendly for the leaders, too. So they're probably not going to be giving as many strokes back to the pack. it's going to have to be a charge on moving day on Sunday to try and catch these guys, because, you know, they're probably going to make a bogey here and there, but for the most part, they're probably going to be much improved over the weekend as well. So, you know, when conditions are benign, it's tough to catch the front runners, and somebody's going to have to make a big effort to do it. Seven shots off the pace right now is a big ask, but I think even par or better is realistic. A couple guys that I like, I love what Colin Morikawa has done the first 2 days.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this guy came in here not in form at all. I was sitting there last weekend. I saw the price on him all the way close to like 50-1. I'm like, God, that's a big number on this kid who's one of the best players in the world. And I said, nah, the form, it's not there. And I stayed away. And you know, my premonition was on the right track here. 71-70. I love how he's been consistent. Hasn't been too far off the off the norm there, you know. So I like him going into the weekend. Oberg, I like going into the weekend, just four shots off the pace. Tommy Fleetwood, you know, this guy has proven he can play in the wind. Joe, we went over this yesterday. Here's your top 10 guys right now live for strokes gained tee to green. Sepp Straka, Max Homa, Ludwig Gobert, Ryan Fox, Adam Scott, Keegan Bradley, Shane Lowry's another guy I think could possibly have a low round in him, Pavone, Grayson Murray of all people, and then Hatton and Scheffler is currently 12th. So, I mean, I think Homa's going to be there. This guy won at Riviera. We know that's a correlated course. Yeah. I mentioned Schauffele. I think he's going to be around. Morikawa, Oberg. I think some of the bigger names are going to start to show themselves towards the top of the leaderboard over the weekend.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, and we should say, I mean, listen, I didn't think DeChambeau would hold up today, but he's driving the ball insane. And this kind of wind and his length, I mean, that's really, it's always been his advantage over everybody, but he utilized it here at this course where he's kind of kept himself out of trouble because he can hit the damn ball so far there. So what chance do you give him to be able to be there on a Sunday on the back nine?
I think he's got a great chance. It seems like he's got a better head on his shoulders these days, if you know what I mean. You know, he's maybe a little bit humbled. His focus seems more in tune with the golf tournament rather than, you know, what's going on at the science lab with his nutrition and his clubs and the LIV circuit and everything. You know, he doesn't seem so hypersensitive. But the one thing that's eluding him, you mentioned off the tee, that's where he's gaining strokes big time. Around the greens, he has not been good. The putter's been decent, but he's got a couple of holes right now. We can talk about this a little more on the other side. Off the tee, absolutely his biggest weapon right now. If that holds up, he'll probably continue to have his name up towards the top.
Yeah, absolutely. Might be a betting opportunity. We'll talk more about it next here in Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions. Here is the Masters off and running heading into the weekend. Cut line hovering around that 6 mark here, plus 6. Tiger Woods sets the Masters record here, and I got to give him credit because he had to scrape. This was a long day of golf for him, and he ends up, I believe, 1 over par. Great job by him. He will be there for the record 24th straight weekend here at Augusta. He shot 72 after having to finish off the first round here. Give the guy credit. I mean, we talked about it yesterday there, Brady, where we were like, it hurts watching him play. Like, it's just everything is like a grimace, and it's like, oh my goodness, he's going to fall over. But man, he gutted it out there today in those conditions. And now he gets to play in on the weekend. So kudos. Can he, dare I say, could he be a top 10, top 20 guy this weekend?
Boy, I tell you what, Joe. I mean, you know, this I think, in my mind, in my experience of watching Tiger Woods, of course, there's the you know, loads and loads and miles of highlight reel and spectacular and dominance and stuff. This is as impressive as anything. What he did, and like you say, I mean, it was the very first hole. It looked like he could hardly walk. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this doesn't look good. He makes it to the weekend. He's one over par. He's beaten a lot of big names out here, and he does it in that wind, plays 23 holes today. Boy, yeah, hats off to this guy. I know it cost you a bet. It cost a lot of people a bet that he made this cut. But, you know, the fan in us, it's pretty cool that he is around here for the weekend. And he's in a dogfight with that matchup, that head-to-head matchup with Mickelson. He's beating him by 3 shots right now. You know, the sharp play going into the Masters, going into this tournament, pre-tournament, was Woods to miss the cut and Mickelson to beat him head-to-head. Well, right now, the book is getting healthy on Tiger Woods making the cut. And right now, like I say, with a 3-shot advantage over Mickelson, where is he at +1 here? He's 21st. Yeah, I mean, the only problem is, Joe, if you're going to bet him, you probably got to go top 10 because you're going to pay – you're always paying a premium on Tiger. And to finish top 20, that's probably really expensive. Yeah, I don't think it's out of the question. I mean, the way he's gone so far.
As long as it's warm and the weather cooperates, it would be the rain and the other thing that would wreak havoc there on his back. But I think kudos to him. And this is the one golf course where the way he can, you know, you can shape the ball, keep it low, keep it out of the wind. He knows every part of this golf course. So this is the one course in which I think might be worth, if he's making the cut, it might be worth a top 10. Crazier things will happen. And by the way, wouldn't the Masters love on a Sunday where Tiger, they can put him on camera the entire damn tournament there and blow as much smoke as humanly possible towards him here. But we do have Schauffele finishing up here as an opportunity for a birdie on the 17th to get back to even par. And to your point, I'll tell you this. The fact that he's not leading and he's not at the leaderboard heading into the weekend, I think it's a green light to bet him to get it going here this weekend, because his problems are when he's in front playing and then he can't seem to close it. But I got no problem with Xander putting it together as the round goes on, which kind of looks like what he's been able to do here the first couple of days.
He's been very impressive. Rory has been all over the place, and, you know, he dumped it in the water on 11, and he just has been really off. He played pretty well. He was all over the place on Thursday, too, but he still managed a round under par. He's been much more erratic today, and it's led to bogeys. But at the same time, in that group, Scheffler and Schauffele have been extremely impressive in keeping this thing under control, because, you know, this round can get away from you in a hurry with these conditions. And by the way, the cut line just went to 6. The 6s are in right now. I was going to say, talking about Tiger for a top 10 or a top 20, Xander, any of these guys that make the cut have a shot, have a good shot at top 20, because for a minute there was only going to be 50 guys in the field for the weekend. Now you've got all these plus 6s. So there's 61 guys. I mean, so you're talking 10 or 11 players on the bubble here. That's a big deal when you're making these top 10, top 20 bets. Because like I say, these guys, you know, Finau, Justin Thomas, Joaquin Neiman, some of these guys at +4, +5, if the cut stays at 5, those guys all have a very good chance to finish top 20. They've only got to surpass another 20, 25 guys.
Yep. Well, let's talk about a few other names on this board heading into the weekend. You do have, I believe there's one more hole here to play, and Xander's back to even par. But how about the U.S. Open champ there, Fitzpatrick? All of a sudden seems to have figured it out. He was a guy, I know, a very popular pick. A lot of guys in the top 10 spot here. Maybe if he could put it all together. He's hovering around at -1 right now. He's in 8th. He's another guy that has already proven he can get it done in a major down the stretch here. He might be worth a look-see here this weekend. What have you seen from him?
very sharp play pre-tournament was Matt Fitzpatrick. And like you say, especially for some of those finish position bets, top 10, top 20, and he's lived up to the billing, absolutely. I think what this says the most to me about what Fitzpatrick has done is how good is this guy in the wind? We know he's an Englishman. We know he's played on the European Tour. You know, how well does he play tough golf courses? How well does he play in the wind? There's proof. There's your answer right there. One under par, even on his round today. Yeah, he is really golfing his ball, absolutely, for the first 2 days. And I'm with you. I you know, maybe if you can find a market for top five out there. And he's still live to win the darn thing. You know, he's one of these guys that could put together a 65 or something like that over the weekend. You know, we went over it a little bit earlier briefly. I think Morikawa is live. I think Åberg is live. I like Homa. Fitzpatrick's another one of those guys. You know, the Masters has a way of somehow the cream seems to rise to the top. So like I say, I think I think the weekend we're going to see some of these bigger names move their way on up and stick around. The question with Homa, I think, is can he handle this spotlight? He's never been here before. He's not done well at the Masters before. I was on with Scott Farrell earlier, and I mentioned that said a lot to me when he made that putt to earn a point for the U.S. in the Ryder Cup. That was a big putt. I think it was about a 10-footer, and he grinded over that thing for about 10 minutes before he let it go. And he said that was the biggest pressure moment of his career, that putt, or the biggest pressure putt he'd ever faced in his career, and he nailed it. I think that goes a long way into a situation like this. He's a winner at Riviera. We know the connection there with Augusta. I think Max is going to hold up pretty well and be in the conversation as well.
Yeah, we've seen nothing from his game thus far to think that, you know, he's going to go anywhere. But up at the top of that leaderboard here, the thing that impresses me about Fitzpatrick is he's got 16 pars on the day when everyone else is card. It's got square, it's got circle here and there. It's like he's been steady Eddie, and that's the kind of thing you want to look for heading into a weekend, because you don't want guys that are just that all over the map. They got a double bogey. Oh, they got an eagle. They got, you know, give me steady Eddie in a major anytime here. But there's got to be some guys, you know, Cam Davis sitting there at three. Højgaard there sitting at what, four under par. Kind of hard to trust some of those names in this spot. Not to mention, how much do you put into the pairings now heading into the weekend, right? It was impossible. Who's playing with Tiger? Good luck. That's going to be a lot of fun, those galleries.
Absolutely. No, you're right. It's a good point about playing with Tiger. I even kind of noticed it out of Max Homa and Jason Day. I think sometimes they were just looking over going, gosh, yeah, are we a fan or are we part of this tournament?
Crazy.
You know? Homa even said it. He said, I kind of had to pinch myself a couple times going, what am I watching here? And it goes to what I was saying about how impressive it was what Tiger did. But you bring up a good point. You know, Cam Davis had a great PGA championship last year at Oak Hill. I think he finished fourth. That was his highest finish ever in a major. So he's had a little bit of that experience playing great so far. You know, he's a guy I don't expect to hang around, but he does have that past experience. Ryan Fox, you know, missed five cuts of eight starts coming in. I didn't expect this out of him. Pavone, you know, he wins the Farmers Insurance at Torrey Pines. Højgaard was right there with Pavone, finished runner-up at Torrey Pines. Now, Højgaard shot a 73 today, so I don't know if that's a sign of things to come. But, you know, I don't know who we're going to see fall off. I just know what we typically see out of the Masters, and I think you make a great point with Fitzpatrick about being steady Eddie. Same thing for Colin Morikawa. You like that clean card. Yep. You don't like to see anything too far off the spectrum. You know, if putting is keeping these guys alive by the skin of their teeth, that's not a good sign. But, you know, I'm not sure of the lesser knowns who's going to fall off, but I do think some of the star power is going to find themselves towards the top.
So somebody's got to shoot a number early, right? You got to think that somebody's got to get a number posted. And the question is, what is that number going to be? Or do we have a 65 tomorrow early to kind of put the heat on the top of these guys, Brady?
I think we do. It's going to have to be, you know, a 65, a 66, something like that. Rahm's still here. He's obviously capable of that. I think Finau is. You've got Niemann. You've got Thigala, Jason Day. There's a lot of names down deep on that leaderboard that could put together a low one.
Be a heck of a weekend at Augusta. Brady, we appreciate it. We'll be back. Game time decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. It is game time decisions on this Friday in the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Certainly appreciate you stopping by as they are finishing up round two at Augusta. We'll let you know what the final standings are here. One thing we know for sure, Tiger Woods will be playing this weekend, which should be great for the television ratings here. And the only question now is, will Scottie Scheffler birdie the 18th and take the outright lead, or will he, Max Homa and Bryson DeChambeau go into tomorrow all tied at 6 under par? A lot going on there. And of course, Major League Baseball underway right now. We've got a couple of games of interest here, and a lot of teams jumping right out and early here. The Pirates are up 2-0 over the Phillies, and serves them right for wearing those disgusting uniforms. I mean, I don't know what, if they lost a bet or what that was, but you know, dare I say I would actually do anything for a Pittsburgh Pirate hat right now instead of looking at these disgustingness that the Phillies are wearing here. Oh, look at that. See, all you have to do is ask, apparently, and Dave Sharapan shows up and delivers. And there it is. What the hell is this uniform they're wearing in Philadelphia? Serves them right for losing.
Haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, is it bad? Okay. Well, then you let me know. If you would have seen this from a distance, you'd have been like, that's the Phillies.
This is the City Connect. Are they wearing the blue? Yeah.
Teal and black. Like what?
Yeah. It's like a fade to black with the top is blue awful. And it all. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. So you don't like it? I haven't. I'm literally finishing watching the second round of the Masters here, trying to see who's making the cut, who's making the knot.
No.
The jury's out on those. Not sure.
You think?
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
You got the whole explanation of that. When I was in Philadelphia with, you know, the hats are great. The Liberty, the bell.
Right.
Is one thing, but the colors, the print, they're not sure. I don't know.
It's yellow.
I got the Pirates like tonight anyway. Just, I need the Pirates.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it there. Pirates are up 2-0 early in that one. The Giants and Rays knotted up one apiece. The Brewers, again, a lot of teams jumping out early. Brewers 3-0 on the road against the Orioles. The Blue Jays 2-1 over the Rockies quickly. The Braves put one on the first inning. And Kansas City out in front of the Mets 1-0 early. So a lot of and the Angels hit a 3-run shot to go up 3-0 over the Red Sox early. So a lot of early runs in these games here, Dave.
How about the Kansas City Royals? How good are they playing?
Love them.
Right now? Hottest team in baseball. Dogs again today. And, you know, this is one of those things. I don't know how good the Mets are. I don't know. I really don't know how good the Royals are going to be all season. But I know right now there's no better team, hotter team in baseball. So I was pleasantly surprised to see that the Royals were plus money this morning. So, 1-0. I just clicked refresh on my scoreboard here.
Quickly.
Braves up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is good. So,
I love Joe over Severino, which, by the way, anybody that watched Severino over the last couple of years, you had to look at that line, Dave. It almost felt like, so you're begging me to take Kansas City here, because we know Severino is fully and Kansas City is red hot at the plate. And plus, that whole line, it was the one line that stunk to high heaven early this morning. It didn't get any better. So what does that line say? The Mets are at home? So I don't get it.
Well, I think a lot of people, I mean, we had this discussion today on Bostonian versus the book. Matt was hesitant to bet on the Royals.
Yes.
Yesterday. He's like, well, I'm definitely not doing it today. You know, I didn't think they would sweep, and they did. So now, you know, it was like, all right, they'll lose now.
Quickly.
Because they're going to the Mets. And you know, you've been around a little bit. Start betting on a team because they're due to lose, and they win.
That's not good.
You know, that six-game streak goes to nine, and you bet against them, and you bet against them, and you bet, no.
Yeah.
So – I don't know. That one screamed obvious to me. I don't know. Coming up, you know, I'll be on with Matt here coming up after this, but St. Louis and Arizona. Did you see that line?
Yeah.
I thought that was suspiciously low this morning when I looked
agree.
At it. Cardinals at Arizona. All right, Mattson fought, but a pick 'em? I mean, sometimes you just look at numbers and you go, geez, that should be -140, -150.
Yep.
Is that a reason enough for you to just play it? A lot of times, if I'm going to make a play, like, it doesn't have to agree with what I thought the number should be. But when it's off like that, you kind of go, all right, I'm playing this. Live with the result.
Yeah. I thought that, and Mats has been throwing pretty well here so far for St. Louis, but Arizona couldn't hit lefties last year, if you remember. And that's all they addressed in the offseason was, you know, bringing in enough bats to be able to go ahead and hit lefties. And they're already a million miles further along against lefties than they were last year here. So I think there's going to be runs, and you know that ballpark, Dave, right? They crank up, they close that, make it indoors, the ball travels a little, they get that humidor going, and next thing you know, it's bombs away, which I kind of have a feeling that's what we're going to get here tonight from those two teams. So I just don't know what to do, whether we should lay it with the Dodgers or not tonight, because Yamamoto going up against Michael King, it feels like the Dodgers at home, this is maybe a good time to lay it with them with the running, because you're not going to lay $2, right? I mean, I'm going to do that right now.
I don't think so. I think it's going to be interesting to watch the Dodger lines when Yamamoto pitches.
Yes.
We're all still learning what it should be when he pitches, right? This isn't, you know, it's higher when Glasnow pitches.
Yes.
Know what we're getting, you know, they're -220 tonight, most likely, if Glasnow's pitching with this matchup. I'm surprised to see it under $2. Dodgers keep rolling. Another couple games, another rest of the month, and this matchup in May would be -240. So maybe it is a little bit underpriced for the Dodgers, but I think it's because we don't know. We don't, you know.
Correct.
And I'll probably be watching that later tonight. This is one of those ones where the Padres and Dodgers have had some really good games head-to-head. And I'm not sure I want to lay $2. I'm going to sneeze. Hold on.
Bless
you. Nothing to sneeze at, Joe.
No,
the allergies out here are really kicking right now. I don't know about the total, right? So, like, we'll get a better feel for the Yamamoto and the Dodgers total, right?
Yeah.
Like, so 8.5. Is that because it's at Dodger Stadium or because you think Yamamoto is going to pitch a really, you know, low-scoring game? So,
yeah,
it's tough. Excuse me.
You know, I know a lot of guys that are all over Ohtani tonight. He's had some success against Michael King.
Right.
When King was with the Yankees and he was with the Angels, of course. So I know a lot of guys already betting the Ohtani anytime home run spot here. But I'm with you with Yamamoto. It's not like he's been shut out, like lights out, overpowering anybody. Like, we've seen him get hit, right? He's pitched his, you know, he obviously has the stuff, but I mean, the question to me is whether or not we trust the lineup of the Dodgers to get the King into that bullpen of the Padres. Can they score enough here and limit that Padres offense? I would only look to lay the run and a half, maybe even the half a run in the first five, because I do think Yamamoto should be able to outpitch King at home. No?
Yeah.
Should be.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think if you play it that way, play it the first five without laying the money line, take a shot and lay a run and lay a half a run, hoping the Dodgers are winning at the break. What about the American League game that's getting ready to start?
Mm.
Texas and Houston. Kind of perplexed. Mm. You get in a game that line tells me something. Tells me that the odds maker not sure what to do with either one of these teams right now, right? Texas coming off of losing to Oakland. Houston getting swept by Kansas City. Houston's at home, so you make it what? You know, you just do this in a room. I don't know what to do with this. Houston's at home, making 130. You know, making a quarter and see what happens. I don't feel like the side is the best play in this game. I like the total. Both lineups struggling. Under.
Big time.
Under 9.5.
Yep.
That's the play.
Yep.
That's the play.
Big time. And don't forget, Yamamoto was the, you know, in when they opened up in Seoul, Korea there, he got lit up by the Padres the first game. So
don't forget,
he was the big pitcher out there, and he got absolutely destroyed. So a bit of a revenge spot in that one. But that, to me, is worse than Houston and Texas, France versus Dunning. So you're talking about the 3 and 4 pitchers, right, in the rotation. We're not talking about number ones here, right? We're talking 3-4 against two teams that couldn't hit their way out of a paper bag as of late. The only thing worse would be trying to figure out who to bet with Oakland and Washington, because I have no idea what to do with that one either. I think they're both take a coin and flip it, because I have no idea what to make of both of those teams and both of those games.
Yeah, so this Washington-Oakland game will get
hilarious.
Handle, right? It's None. This is a fun game. And like, you know, we got guys that are Washington National fans that work closely with us. And Sammy, if you're watching, you know, I would bet to know that you're not. How in the world can you not bet Washington plus money? How could you not? This game, just put a pick. -110 both sides. That's what I would do. Say, listen, you want to come bet Oakland? Go ahead. You want Washington? Go ahead. Dead under. Let's look under.
Yep.
Right? 8? Yeah. I don't know. It almost looks easy, but I like the under best in that game. How about this one? Chicago Cubs going to Seattle. Right? We don't know. Still. Are the Cubs good? Nice little start. Are the Mariners 500 team or below? Not sure. Miller and Wicks?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I took the under in this game because actually it's going to be a pretty good pitcher's battle here.
Correct.
I like Miller, and I like the lefty Wicks too. So I do think that both offenses have a little something to be desired. So it wouldn't shock me if this is a 3-2 kind of game, 4-2 kind of game. So that's where
Seattle,
I'm looking at that
and
one.
Under. There, Seattle and
under. That's what done. Done. See how easy that was? And now Dave gets to do it all over again coming up here in just a few minutes with the Baddies for All. We'll close it out next year, Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right. Welcome back in Game Time Decisions as we close out this edition, but have no fear. Dave Sharapan, Matty Perrault coming up here in just a minute or two here for a little in-game live primetime on this Friday. And a lot going on here on the diamond in Major League Baseball as well as the NBA. A couple of NHL games, and they just finished up at the Masters, in fact. And for those interested, cut line looks to be somewhere around 5 or 6 over, which unfortunately for some guys means that their week is over at Augusta. But up at the top of the leaderboard, Bryson DeChambeau, Max Homa, and Scottie Scheffler will be your leaders heading into the third round. Scottie Scheffler remains the overwhelming favorite here at plus 120 right now, which is laughable. Max Homa, 5-1, along with, it looks like, DeChambeau right around the 5-1 price. You don't get to double digits until you get to Colin Morikawa, Åberg, those guys, and then it just slowly goes up from there. And just to give you an idea, 3 under par is what Morikawa is. Åberg is 2 under par. Everyone else is either 1 under or even par. And that's where you can still get some value, because this is still very much anybody's Masters. And with the weather clearing up a little bit for tomorrow, guys that are even par, 1 under par, can go out and shoot a number early. It's going to make it very interesting late. So lots still to go and be decided at Augusta at the Masters. In the meantime, the Baltimore Orioles are getting shellacked by the Brewers right now. 4-0 early here in the top of the third. Colorado has beaten Gausman 4-2. In that one in Toronto at the Rogers Center, and the LA Angels 4-0 up over Boston. Dave and Matt coming up will have you caught up with all the action on the diamond as well as the hardwood as a game time decisions. We'll see you again tomorrow here on the grid.